All right, good morning, folks. Thanks for joining us. Always special the way we start the Friday show, and that is with our hometown hero brought to you by Marigolds. They do this every week, and if you have somebody you know of who you're saying these are a servant in the community, reach out to us at Cardio. We want to get them on the show. We want to say thank you. This morning, we have the privilege of talking with Pete. He's spent 27 years on the force, CSPD. Pete, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So did I get that right? 27 years?
Yes, coming up on 27.
Holy smokes. That is a long time. All with CSPD?
Yes, sir. I was an officer in a Denver suburb prior to that, but I came down and joined CSPD. My brother did 30 years as a police officer here and recently retired about 2 years ago. So I kind of followed him down here.
Wow. So it runs in the family, huh?
Unfortunately.
And I was told here you also spent time serving in the Army.
Yes, sir. 3 years in the U.S. Army.
And was that right after high school? You enlisted? Tell us a little bit about how that went down.
I did 1 year of college and realized it wasn't for me. I had a lot of growing up to do. I didn't want my mom fitting a bill for college when I knew it wasn't right. I decided right before the Gulf War kicked off that I needed to go and do something else with my life, enlisted in the infantry, and signed, and 2 days later left and ended up in Korea, did a short tour over in the Gulf, and did 3 years, got out, and started to pursue a police career.
And then you were in Denver is where you started the law enforcement?
Yes, sir. Yep. Started down there in Arapahoe County, tested for Colorado Springs. Like I said, my brother was on for about 5 years at the time and followed in his footsteps, came down here and have been with CSPD since 1997.
Wow, that is a long time. What are some of the different roles? I'm sure you've served in different capacities with CSPD over those 27 years.
Well, I spent 25 and a half on the streets, just in patrol. I really enjoyed that role. It just offered something different every day, different kinds of calls. I liked really getting in touch with people and, going to the hot calls, as they would say, the in-progress calls, and then having the option to sit back with people and talk through problems and that kind of stuff. You saw a little bit of everything. So I did that for about 25 years, and recently I've gone over to the Marshals Unit and have been there since May of last year. So it's been a good change for me, a little bit of a different pace, but I'm really enjoying the people I work with and what I do over here also.
Well, good for you. I've been on a ride-along before, and you bring up talking to people, and, you're really meeting people sometimes in some of the worst situations, when they're really down and out, they're experiencing, something pretty life traumatic. What do you, your mindset, Pete, when you're going into situations like that, what are some of the key things you try to focus on?
Well, you try to focus on, that you are a servant, a public servant. You're here to help people. What we don't understand a lot in society is how prevalent or what an effect, violent crime can have or just even crime in general when people have a car stolen, how it affects their lives. So you get to see the impact on just, okay, it's a car. People say it's a car, it's replaceable. But a lot of these cars for people, let's say it's a way and means that they provide for their family. And if it's a single mother or a single father, and that's their means, it totally has an effect. So you personalize those things and you try to do what you can to fix or remedy to the situation as best as you can in the time that you have with that person. But what it does is it makes you understand, the effects of crime on people. I really believe that there's what we call, victimless crimes, that there's very few of those things out here. Most actions have consequences, and you really get to see how certain things, drug addiction, mental illness, and that kind of stuff affect families and people and certain situations. So it's really eye-opening.
Well, we appreciate you, your service. That's an awful long period of time, and serving with the Army, your deployment, and 27 years with CSPD. You know, this is what makes Colorado Springs great, is our law enforcement. I've got to meet several of you, and you know, you really do have a servant's heart. So we appreciate everything you do, and Marigold's is going to reach out to you. They're going to set it up. You and a guest go up and enjoy a meal on them, food, drinks, as a thank you. They feel passionate about our law enforcement and everything they do to keep our city a safe city.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm extremely blessed to have served this city, this police department, and this community.
Well, Pete, we appreciate you. Look out for a call from Gassan. He's the owner of Marigold's, and you enjoy your weekend, okay?
Thank you, sir. You too.
Okay, folks, another one in the books there. We are just blessed with these hometown heroes. We get to hear their stories, everything they do for our community. Reach out to KRDO if you'd like to nominate somebody, have them on the show, who's really has a servant's heart. We are talking today about heroic events in the United States. What makes our country so great? We're going to have some messages here, and we'll be right back. Okay, folks, welcome back here to The Extra. It was great to talk with Pete, our hometown hero of the week. 27 years serving Colorado Springs Police Department. And if you see law enforcement out there, give them a handshake, give them some encouragement, and tell them how thankful you are for their service and everything they do for our great community. We talk about heroic events throughout the United States, what shaped our country. And this week I wanted to touch on these topics with 9/11 and the impact that made on our nation and the men and women who stepped up in their heroic ways. And really, I mean, the call they took, you know, you think about these firefighters who are running up the stairs into a burning building. And people are running down knowing what they were running up to and knowing that the chances of them coming out of that building were very, very slim. And that is really what I believe is what makes America great, is the sacrifice, the courage, the bravery that we see, whether it be in our law enforcement, our firefighters, our first responders, and also in our military. It is something that I believe that, you know, was shaped really from the beginning of our country. So we talk about some of these heroic events. You think of, number one, the American Revolution, right? Started with a revolt against taxes, had the Boston Tea Party break out. They were trying to implement these new taxes, right? And out of that was formed the Continental Congress, right? And so there was a boycott of the British colonies. And so, you know, that took place in 1776. And, you know, George Washington, very instrumental, obviously. That's a name that sticks with everyone. And had help, you know, the war started in 1776 and 1783, you know, was the completion of that war. And help from Spain in France, helping us be, you know, victorious and breaking away from Britain. And you look back at the stories here of how much we were underdogs, the United States was, and Britain was the strongest army, a big-time stronghold, and we had farmers who were stepping up going, we're going to fight for our freedom, and that is really, the Allies, we had huge impact. But also, these farmers who didn't have really much training, right? They didn't have the training, obviously, the British Army had and the organization, but they had heart. And they wanted to create this great country we call today the United States of America. And so that would be number one, really, as far as heroic events. It shaped our country. And then we also move on to the Civil War, where we had 254,000 casualties, right? The hot topic there was the abolish of slavery, and ended up really uniting our nation. Obviously, the black thumbprint on that one is the assassination of Abraham Lincoln that came about. And that is somebody who, you know, really stepped up for our country and followed the right path and put us on the correct path when it came to abolishing slavery. And so it's important we go back, we look at the American Revolution, we look at the Civil War, of these early contentious points, and somebody like George Washington, who stepped up, had the perseverance, the willingness to have the vision for the United States of America, right? And the gentlemen, the founding fathers who came around him to continue to shape what we call, you know, our great country today, the best country in the world, hands down. And we had an event for World War II veterans last week, and I remember, if you had hadn't listened to the show last week, Edwin Beck joined me. It was an inspirational story. He served in the Battle of the Bulge, was captured, was a POW, escaped. And I asked Ed, you know, what is the thing you could pass next generation? And he said that the United States is the best country in the world, and we're so blessed to live in the United States, and that the next generation needs to understand how great we have it. So important. And so as we move forward to World War One, Woodrow Wilson, right, joins World War One, and it was really, there's different opinions on this, but more so, you know, stop the German conquest and to support our allies in Europe. There's some that said it was done for money, and obviously wars do create money. But really, when you dig down deep, it is Woodrow Wilson was saying we have to have a stronghold with our allies in Europe, and we can't let Germany, you know, really take over and become a powerhouse when it comes to Europe. And so we see the next real major event that is, you know, a day that is always remembered here, and that is December 7th, 1941. The attack on Pearl Harbor, which took place at 7:50 a.m., and 350 Japanese pilots. And if you haven't been to Pearl Harbor, I suggest you go. You go out to the Arizona, you go to these memorials, and more so, you take the next generation. I encourage you to take your kids and understand the sacrifices that were made. Because a lot of the time now in history, these things aren't talked about as much as they should. And the generations that came before us who paid the ultimate sacrifice so we can enjoy the freedoms we have today. So we're not speaking German. We're not under communist rule. And so you look at these pivotal points in our country's past, and it really leads to the main factor is the courageous men and women who stepped up and answered the call. Pearl Harbor, 2,403 Americans' lives were lost. 1,178 were wounded. And there were a handful of pilots who were able to get up off the ground to counterattack the Japanese. Two names that are familiar in the history books are Welch and Taylor. They were able to get airborne. And just think, these gentlemen had 1 year of pilot training underneath their belt. And they scrambled, they got to their planes. Welch was the first pilot to make a kill, shot down a Japanese fighter pilot, first one in the Pacific. And these are the heroic, courageous actions that were able to save lives. And after this took place, which stick around because we're going to have some commercial breaks here. We're going to hear from ABC News. But then we're going to come back and talk about the Doolittle Raid. The men and women who stepped up and said, we're going and we don't have enough gas to make it back. It was a suicide mission. But they said, this is what we have to do for our country. We have to fight back. And so we're going to go over the Doolittle Raid. We're going to talk about D-Day, top World War II battles, V-Day. We're going to touch on Vietnam War. And then we're going to revisit the 9/11 attacks and then the war in the Middle East. So if you have questions or you know, stuff that you feel like was made a major impact in the United States of America, shoot me a text, 719-232-1063. That's 232-1063. We're going to go to ABC News now, some commercial breaks, and then we'll be right back here. You're listening to The Extra, Justin Hermes, KTRO News Radio. Okay, folks, thanks for sticking with us, talking about heroic events throughout the United States and, well, you know, some of these events that shaped our country. And as we talk about the attack on Pearl Harbor and the Doolittle raid that followed, which was really, you know, a sharp response from the United States, and really was significant in the fact that it was a mission that didn't have much hope to it. And the gentlemen who went on this raid, they knew what the price would be, and they would not have enough fuel to return. And they stepped up to the plate. They said, this is going to be, you know, a significant response from the United States following Pearl Harbor. And it was an air raid that took place on the 18th of April, 1942. And the bombing hit Tokyo. It was the first American air operation to strike Japanese. And the raid, you know, although it didn't have significant damage, it demonstrated the Japanese that their mainland was vulnerable and we could hit them right in the heart. And so the response to this, you know, was named after Lieutenant Colonel James Doolittle. And he said, I'm going with you. And they flew B-25s, took off aircraft carriers, which in itself is very difficult, the maneuvering they had to do to make that possible. So the 18th of April, 1942, 16 B-25s took off, 80 airmen, knowing that this was really a suicide mission, right? 16 B-25s lost, 15 destroyed, one interned in the Soviet Union. And these are the men who stepped up and answered the call. So, a top heroic event. I have 10 of them for you today. If you think I'm missing anything, shoot me a text, 719-232-1063. So following up on the Doolittle raid is obviously D-Day, June 6, 1944. And remembering what Roosevelt, over the radio airwaves, as these soldiers are going on a mission that would play such a major role in World War II, stating, Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day we have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Let our hearts be stout to wait out the long travail, to bear sorrows that may come, to impart our courage onto our sons, wherever they may be. And you think, you know, there's footage, and I challenge you, you know, to look it up on YouTube. There's footage, and D-Day, what it was in itself the sacrifices and charging the beaches was just a very challenging task, and it led to 10,000 casualties, 4,414 lives lost, 24,000 troops landed. And I talked about going to Pearl Harbor, going to the memorial. Also visit Omaha Beach. Look at the Normandy American Cemetery and the white crosses that mark that land of those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, knowing on those boats what they were going into and to step up and say, I'll go, is really the American soldier. And to continue to persevere and have the courage is what marks America as a great, great country. And we look at the top battles of World War II, Midway victory, which took the South Pacific. You go to Stalingrad, 1942, November 1st, big German surrender. Kursk was the last German offensive. And you hear of Battle of the Bulge. Serving in these battles, especially like the Battle of the Bulge, the weather just itself, the adversity these soldiers faced was magnificent. But the perseverance led to May 8th, 1945, V-Day, marking the end of World War II. So I've gone through seven events now. Stick around after the commercial break. We're going to hit on the Vietnam War and the 9/11 attacks and the war in the Middle East. You're listening to Justin Hermes on The Extra. All right, folks, thanks for sticking with us, talking about the pride of our nation today, what makes the United States what it is, and how blessed we are to live here in one of the greatest countries. And it's because of these events that shaped the history of our country and the men and women who continue to fight for our freedom and the men and women who've lost their lives fighting for our freedom, making the ultimate sacrifice. We've touched on the American Revolution, Civil War, World War I, the attack on Pearl Harbor, D-Day, some battles, top battles in World War II. V-Day is where we left off, and going into the Vietnam War, which claimed 58,222 American lives lost, and that was 1955 through 1973, and what a brutal war that was. And you can tell by the sacrifices made and the American heroes that stepped up. 35,000 Purple Hearts were awarded for the Vietnam War, one of being the late Colin Powell. And I'm fortunate enough to have an uncle who flew surveillance over Vietnam. And same thing, the battle, we talked about Battle of the Bulge and the weather and, the weather, the extreme heat, humidity in the Vietnam War, fighting in the jungles, not knowing where your enemy is, what they look like, and how difficult of a battle that was for the Americans. And we have a lot of Vietnam veterans here in Colorado Springs. And I've also spent time in D.C. at the memorial for the Vietnam War. And sometimes it doesn't get the traction you'll find in history as World War II and some of the things we mentioned before, American Revolution. But Vietnam, no doubt, with the amount of lives lost and the impact it made and the American soldier, a contentious time for the United States during the Vietnam War with the protesters. And you'll hear of stories of a family where the soldier is serving and another family member is protesting the war and the difficulty for the American soldier even returning from Vietnam and how that they were welcomed. And how some of them were spit upon and what they had to deal with coming back from Vietnam and after the war was detrimental. And so Vietnam is definitely marks this heroic event. Like I said, 35,000 Purple Hearts were given out in Vietnam. And then this week, and this is why I did the topic of the show this week, is because we had the anniversary of 9/11. And so many of you can remember exactly where you were on 9/11. I was in sixth grade. and we were heading out for recess at Shine Mountain Elementary School, and they took us back in. And being that age, we didn't know, you know, the World Trade Center and New York City, the kind of the history behind that. But they were concerned that being at Shine Mountain Elementary, right below NORAD, anything could be a target at that point. And, you know, coming home, and my mom was serving the military, director of ACS, and seeing her just completely in tears, you started to really see the impact this was making and how devastating it was for the United States. 2,977 lives were lost. But you do look at the heroism that took place on that day and the days preceding. And one of the stories that sticks out specifically is Flight 93 was headed to D.C. They speculate the Capitol would be the target, and there was phone calls being made. They were flying low enough to get cell phone service, and it is heartbreaking to listen to the recordings of these phone calls from loved ones saying goodbye. And Todd Beamer, 32-year-old on that flight, most likely saved the Capitol from being attacked. His famous words, "Let's roll," and ended up being able to take that flight down in Pennsylvania rather than at our nation's capital. The fight and struggle in the cockpit that morning. Heroes like a Todd Beamer, who stepped up and had the American heroism. What a definition of that. And all the heroes on 9/11, 343 firefighters lost. New York City firefighters lost that day. And not to mention what we see continuing loss of life from side effects that happened for those who served, the firefighters, the police officers who are losing their lives today because the effects of 9/11. And you look at the footage of the firefighters running up the towers, the firefighters, stories of them being off of work and hustling in, throwing their gear on, and heading straight into harm's way. That is what makes America special. It's the people that make the ultimate sacrifice and the willingness to fight for our great country, for our flag, that makes us unique. It's the American spirit, the fighting spirit, the patriotic spirit that really makes America what it is. And after that, we saw the war in the Middle East go on for decades. More than 7,000 United States lives lost, 8,000 contractors, and the effect it's having on the soldiers returning, who have returned, and the PTSD they're dealing with. I was at an event for Homefront Cares, and everything they're doing to support our military and those who are affected by the deployments and what they saw and had been through, and for those who had casualties, who are wounded for the rest of their lives because they were willing to go and fight on our behalf, right? And it's important to remember the bravery, the courage. When we talked about D-Day, these soldiers charging the beaches, they weren't focused on themselves, right? They were focused on our country. They were focused on the greater good. They were fighting for the United States of America. And I'm going to leave you with this because we're running out of time. Be patriotic. Be proud to be an American. It is such a special thing we have here in the United States. And to just be born in the United States of America gives you a massive leg up on the rest of the world. It is such a blessing to live in this great country. And that's why we start the show every Friday with the Hometown Hero. We bring on those who are continuing to make the sacrifice to protect our beautiful country, to protect our city, the law enforcement, the soldiers, and the first responders. We thank you. And we thank Marigold for stepping up every week and saying, we want to be a part of this. And that's why they fly that American flag right upon their entry, because they're immigrants. They immigrated. And they know how special the American dream is. All right, folks, another one in the books. You have Tom Martino joining you next right here on KDO News Radio.